It just seems that none of us are quite clear on what all the changes to your no-fault insurance will mean here in Michigan. That's all part of the Auto No-Fault Reality Tour here on the Steve Gruber Show to get you as much information as possible because it affects anyone who is a driver, a passenger, a pedestrian, anybody in Michigan that could possibly be affected by an automobile accident in any way. Whether you're in a car, not in the car, doesn't matter. All of these things tie in together. My next guest, Phil Weaver, president and CEO of the Hope Network. Phil, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here. Now, you are a nonprofit, correct? Based in Grand Rapids, give or take 3,000 employees, serving more than 78 counties in Michigan, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So tell us, what is the specialty of the Hope Network? What is it you guys do?
Well, besides, you know, our traumatic brain injury and spinal cord injury programs, which is our neurobehavioral programs, but we also have behavioral health programs for the individuals with mental health programs in communities that we serve across the state of Michigan, along with the largest transportation system. We have a housing program. We're a very integrated system to try to help people's lives be better.
So a really big part of what you do is dealing with people that have survived traumatic automobile accidents with potentially traumatic brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, debilitating injuries of all sorts. That's a big part of what you do, correct?
Yeah, one of the things that we try, that we're really special at, quite frankly, is because of our neurobehavioral programs, which serve individuals that have had some kind of an auto accident or been hit by a car. You know, if I could tell you the number of people every year that get hit by an automobile and under these new proposals are not going to get any coverage whatsoever, it's mind-boggling that we would allow that to happen in the state of Michigan. But it's happened, so now we have to figure out how we're best going to go into the future to make sure these individuals have an opportunity to have a high-quality life.
Well, and here's my other question. From what you understand, and I'm going to guess, you know, you're a pretty good-sized company. You've been digging through this, reading this. I mean, it's long, it's complex, there's a lot to it. But you're reading through it, trying to figure out how it impacts you, not only on how you care for patients, but how you pay for your staff, because there's provisions in there that will, I think it's fair to say, negatively impact the way you compensate your staff as well. True?
Well, I'm not sure that we don't have the full effects of it yet, because it's not into the full law is not into full effect yet. But I will tell you that there is a possibility that we will not be the same size organization we are today. We won't be serving as many people as we've served in the past. Part of the regulations for organizations like Hope Network, so it cuts our rates from $1 to 55 cents, as an example. So it's a 45% cut in any kind of rate we have and any kind of services we're doing for individuals long-term. So these are the individuals that, quite frankly, have had the catastrophic accident that not a fender bender where you have a little neck injury or have a little arm injury. This is individuals with significant traumatic brain injuries or spinal cord injuries that are going to need, quite frankly, a lot of care probably for the rest of their lives. Maybe not at our level, but someone's going to have to help them somewhere along the line and to continue to have a quality life.
Well, right, and it's difficult to say because we don't know exactly. But, you know, I've been talking since well before this was signed by the governor, back in the end of May, 1st of June, talking to my different insurance providers and so forth, asking them if I was going to save money. And they said, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, now, wait a second. The whole point of doing this was to bring down auto insurance rates. And what I see, and maybe you can help me with this, Phil, is that rates are not going to be, they might go down some for some people, but not significantly. It's not going to be a dramatic decrease in rates. And for those that can afford it the least, those that can only afford the bare minimum insurance, they stand to get hurt the worst. Plus, as you just mentioned, if you're a pedestrian and you get clipped by a car, hit and run, or they stay there, it doesn't matter, you're not covered at all.
Right.
That's disconcerting to me.
Well, it's more concerning than that. It has to do with our biggest concern, of course, is for the individuals that do get hurt. I mean, we've always, you know, we are a mission-based organization. You are right. We are a nonprofit. From that standpoint, our goal has always been, how do we make sure that the individual gets the best opportunity to have a high-quality life moving forward? And that's not always easy to do, I think we've had some miracles, quite frankly, in some of the services we've done. But I will tell you that what's concerning to me is what you just mentioned. So if you make a choice as a driver to say, you know, I'm not going to have any more large, high-end coverage. I'm going to just have the cheapest coverage I can find. You're making a choice. But that pedestrian or that bicyclist or that child or walking down the street or crossing the street or wherever is not making that choice, doesn't get that same choice to say I'm covered or not covered from that standpoint. And that worries me a lot because, quite frankly, we see a lot of individuals that are injured in automobile accidents that are not drivers, maybe are passengers, maybe are individuals walking on the street. We have several bicyclists every year. Everybody reads about it in the paper. They get hit by a car. I'm just worried about those individuals because I don't think those individuals are going to have the same opportunities in the future that they have today.
Well, they wouldn't have any opportunity.
Right.
I mean, there's no recourse. And it was Mitch Albom's column on a little three-year-old girl that was hit as a pedestrian in the Detroit area.
Right.
That caught a lot of people's attention, right? That the governor, having read that and heard what we're doing here on this program, decided to wait a second. Let's not roll these changes in until July 1st of 2020. So some of the people are covered now, but you're still looking at reductions in rates and so forth. Right, but you know, July 3rd, 2020, you're on your own, or July 2nd or whatever. But it doesn't change the fact that compensation rates for in-home care for the people that are hurt the worst and need the most attention, the way I understand the law, are the ones that are going to get scaled back because the rates will be reduced by 45%.
Yeah, so the good providers, the providers that have been doing this for a long time, the ethical providers, and there's a lot of them in the state, who have been charging reasonable rates, not extraordinary rates, reasonable rates for their services, are going to get their rates cut by 45%. The organizations that have been charging twice what we charge are going to get their rates cut by 45% also. But guess what? They were charging already twice what we were charging. So they're not going to really get hurt by this like we are. And that's one of my concerns in organizations like ours that, from that standpoint. But the bigger concern is what you just identified is, what do we do after July 1st, 2020, the individuals that are not at fault at all, and are they going to be able to have an opportunity to have a high-quality life and get services that they deserve or they need? We can ship a lot of people to nursing homes and other places. That's not going to do it. The second biggest concern I have is we have several hundred patients today in services across the state of Michigan that in July of 2020 are basically going to get their rates reduced by 45%. We can't even pay for the staff to take care of them at that rate.
Right.
So where are they going to go? Where are we going to have these individuals go? Where are these several thousand people in the state of Michigan going to go to get services or to even have services? Because in the rules, the 45% cutback is also true of nursing homes or long-term care facilities. It's not just our kind of a facility. It's any additional.
No, it means that we're going to warehouse people, Phil.
That's correct.
It means we're going to warehouse people. That's near as I can figure. Phil Weaver, we have to leave it there. Phil Weaver, the president and CEO of Hope Network. Great conversation.
Thanks,
great insight. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
You as well. Quick break on the Steve Gruber Show. You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
Car insurance in Michigan is a problem not yet solved. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close, and there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com. Thousands of jobs across the state of Michigan may be lost due to some recent changes in the auto insurance system. If you think Michigan's elected officials should be doing what they can to lower insurance premiums without closing businesses, learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce. celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Wendy Block, Vice President of Business Advocacy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber has been the state's leading business advocacy organization for the past 60 years. Every day we work with state lawmakers in Lansing to promote and support policies that are essential for job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise. Our advocacy team defends business interests and actively promotes pro-business legislative initiatives. Whether it's education, environment, healthcare, or infrastructure, we are committed to standing up for all businesses, large and small. The Michigan Chamber delivers powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. We are proud to be the leading voice for business in Michigan.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.